Well, by the grace of God, we are gathered again here this morning to hear what God will reveal to us by His Spirit. Like, we have a word here, good that we stay in the word, but we also must be, this word must be revealed to us by the Spirit. Martin Luther spoke once, he said that when you read the Word of God, pray to God that it would be revealed by His Spirit. You know, sometimes I read the Bible and I don't seem to get nothing out of it. But if you have troubles and questions, you take the Bible and you'll find answers. It is the will of God. But the most important thing is that we get this assurance and confidence that we are children of God, and God's children are the ones that get this comfort from the Bible. Because the Bible, the Word of God, does not condemn a believer. So it comforts. But those that are in unbelief, it condemns them. And that's why it's good that we read again this Word of God to find out if we are on the right road. That does this Word of God, does it give us this confidence and comfort that we are children of God? And that's why we get together, to hear again. Sometimes we get a little warm feeling. Oh, last night even warmed up a little bit. And that's what God's Spirit does. It warms us up. You know, when you sing these songs even, how many songs speak about how lonely we are, you know. He speaks also about our false feelings. And the prayer always goes to God, you know, that He would reveal to us whose children we are, that He would warm us up a little. And that's why we have this comfort of the Holy Spirit. And you know, that Spirit is what governs and controls children of God. Like in the Old Testament, it's already written about that. That I will make them to keep my statutes. I will make them to keep my commandments. See, a person can talk about commandments and give orders like they do in the world, you know. But if a person hasn't got love of God in their heart, if they haven't got the Spirit of God, if they haven't been born again, they don't want to. They're always fighting against any authority. But when this love of God is shed abroad in our heart, and when we have been born again, when we have our hearts open, our eyes have been opened, that we see how much we have received from God, that God loves us so much. That's when we get that desire to keep His statutes and His commandments. And that's what it means when it says, and I will make them to keep my commandments. Not by force, but because the love of God is shed abroad now. That's where that desire comes. So they are led by the Spirit of God, like it says. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They have an inward desire to do good, like Apostle Paul even said. He has this inward desire. But then there's that flesh also. And that's what fights against his inward desire. So he says that the good that I want to do, I do not. And the evil that I don't want to do, I do. We have the same thing, same problem, don't we? But then he says, it isn't I that do it, but he that do it much later. But still, God's children, they fight against the desires of the flesh. And you know, when I see all these young people living, there's so many places they could go, you know, to enjoy themselves. And they come to hear the word of God. Isn't that the desire of God? The spirit that has been given to them. That's what draws them here. They are led by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, it's wonderful to be a son of God. Like it's written, I will give them a new name. Speaks in the Bible about that new name. And John here writes this way, what wonderful love God has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. We have received a new name, Son of God. You know, that's a big thing to be a son of God. You know, I remember Walter Isaac used to say that. You know, they make a lot of fun about believers, and they mock it. But you know, when you walk on the street and someplace downtown, if they would know who's walking there, they would lift their hat. Because there goes the Son of God. That's how precious God's children are. But the world don't see it. They didn't see it on Jesus when he came here. He had no form of comeliness. They didn't accept him. And that's the way it is even today. About our religion. They don't accept it. That kind of a religion. It's got to have something for the eyes to see. That's what the world goes at. And that's why they don't hear us, because they are not of God. And like it's written in the Bible, who heareth you, heareth me. Jesus says, who heareth you, heareth me. So, there is a sign that Spirit is leading you when you come and hear the word of God. For ye have not received the Spirit of bondage again to fear. There is the testimony. See, when a person is in unbelief, he has the fear of death. But then, when he has received the Spirit of God, which comforts them. You know, I was thinking like, for Stephen. Every time I think about that, she didn't have no fear. God prepares a person. You know, we all have to leave this world, but you know, when it strikes home, come on, hits you hard. Well, anyway, even the doctor was surprised, you know. He's so calm, you know. You know, the doctor in Duluth, you know, he made arrangements. He said, you go see your local doctor, whatever doctor you want to choose, you know. And he said he knows all the doctors in Moose Lake. Because, you know, when the end comes, You know, her stomach was cut wide open, and the doctor told her, Shelton, he said that you don't have to come to Duluth to take those stitches out there. You can take it out yourself at home if you want to. But, you know, we thought it was a little too rough. So I went to Moose Lake, and Dr. Peterson, there is a young man. So he took the sticks, you know. Florence also told him, or already told him, that Sanford has recommended that one of the doctors here, Moose Lake, would take care of her towards the end, you know, in case the pain gets so bad, you know, you have to go to the hospital. And the way Florence has been talking, you know, that she's waiting for that day, you know. Doctor even got tears in his eyes. You know, that's the confidence God's children have. You know, God prepares them to face that. You know. Of course, the doctor, he had everything all planned, you know. Prepared us, you know, sister, I have to learn how to give those hypos. Diane and I learned how to give hypos in the hospital, you know, in case, you know, a disease like that, there's usually a lot of pain. But then the doctor said that maybe she won't have so much pain, but if it so happens, it's good to know how to give hypos. So we are practicing on an orange. And you know, we kind of have a little fun with it. It's a serious thing, but yeah, we're practicing on that part, and it didn't work so good in the part. I'm not going to let you do that on me. So then I told her that, oh, practice means perfect. We'll get it practiced good enough. But you know, that's one of the things that a person has to expect, you know. But it's good to laugh about it too, you know. But it's really a kind of a shock. But anyway, this young doctor has so admired Florence, you know. The confidence that she has, you know. And he said, yes, you really take care of you. And he said also this Stanford that I know him, and I used to be an intern under him, you know. So he said he's a real good doctor. Well, back to my next. But anyway, it's good that we are not orphans. And when the time comes, God will give us strength. And you know, when God's children, when they pray, we've gotten a lot of cards. They all pray for this, that God would give us strength to carry us. And he has. He has given a lot of comfort. I mentioned last night about we got a tape with new songs on it and put it on. I thought that was feeling, and Florence said, that's the best medicine she's had. You know, when God comforts his children, you know, he does it in so many different ways. Greetings. So it's wonderful to have this kind of assurance, to have this kind of a comforting spirit that comforts us in our troubles. You know, this world is, there's nothing but trouble here. You know, it says in the Bible, even at the best time, it's nothing but trouble, sickness and trouble. But it's good to have this kind of assurance that we have a better place waiting for us in heaven. Because we're all waiting for that day that we can leave. And then when that time comes, you know, close, you know, place right is not so soon. Not so soon. Isn't that something? Place is a place. You know, once I was thinking about that one part in the Bible, he said, the desire of the flesh is death. And still the flesh is so afraid of death. But when he said the desire of the flesh is death, you know, flesh like everything where there is a promise of death, see? Now, I always want to go where there is no promise of everlasting life. But death, you know, into unbelief, into sin and everything, that's the desire of the flesh. And that's what we do. The desire of the flesh is death. But the desire of the spirit is everlasting life. And that's what God's children are. They always are waiting for that day. You know, like it's written that even the conversation of the believer is heaven. Because they have been born again, their desire is into heaven. They want to hear about that promise, what's waiting for them in heaven, and how we get there. You know, that's the most important thing, how we get there. And that is in the Bible here. It says in the Bible how we get there. And it's put in such a simple place that just by believing on Jesus Christ, just by faith alone, that you won't get lost. Even the simple won't get lost when they believe. And you know, as far as wisdom goes, you know, a lot of times we kind of study the Bible even and we wonder, what does this part mean or that part mean? You go in the Old Testament, I'm telling you, we get stuck so many times. What does it mean? It all means one thing. It's a map and it shows us how to get to heaven. And that's all we need to know. How we're going to get to heaven. And it's put in the Bible just by faith in Jesus Christ. Believing on His only begotten Son. Because the promise was given right from the beginning. It speaks about His Savior. But there's only one way to get to heaven. Like Jesus said, He only brings out few words, you know, this way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whosoever believeth on me, that everlasting. And you know, John writes this way. Since as Moses, you know, raised that, you know, those children were bitten by those snakes when Moses was leading the children of Israel. And God told Moses to make a serpent out of brass, put it up on a tree, hang it up on a tree. That whosoever looked on that snake, that serpent, would be healed. So wasn't that kind of a foolish thing from the brain?
Yeah.
People, most of them that didn't look, you know, they died because the serpent had bitten them. But those that looked in faith, they were healed. You know, that same way we have to look at Jesus Christ, who hung on a cross for our sins. And with eyes of faith, we see our salvation. That He died there because of our sins. So you just have to be simple and believe. And the simplicity of it is a stumbling block to the people in the world. You know, Bray always says, you got to do something. Always do something. Even the Bray says, you got to be good to get to heaven. You have to be good, but there's nobody so good by their own work that they can get to heaven by their own work. But you have to be good to get to heaven. You have to be perfect. Only one way to get have that perfection, we have to accept the work of Jesus Christ. There is perfection. There is love. So perfect. And you know, we have this kind of a love shed abroad in our hearts. You know, Jesus speaks about that. You know, if somebody hungers, feed him. And many things that he speaks that we should do. How do you do those? You know, you hear about these ministers that go to these hospitals. Somebody's sick and dying, you know, they want help. Minister comes there, well, you pray, you do a lot of praying, and you be good and all that, and you be all right. They don't get no comfort. They can't feed them. They can't comfort them. But when a believer goes, somebody's dying, you know, somebody knows that he's gonna go to hell. He's gotta get help. Believer goes there, remits his sins, because Jesus gave us power, God to him. Boy, doesn't that comfort, doesn't that heal them? There is the one that heals. Just like Jesus healed, and he gave that same power to his own children. So that's what it means. When you hunger, feed him! Somebody hungers, feed them. And only a believer can do that. You know, I think we have a good God. You know, you hear some people, they say, always saying they have this pie word, we have a good God. But we really have a good God, see? I've heard that even spoken as a byword. But actually, we have a good God who gathered us from this wicked world, brought us into this kingdom, where there's forgiveness of sins. This kingdom where there's forgiveness of sins. Because we sin every day, and, you know, our inward desire is to do good. But the flesh, you know, is sometimes so strong, and we stumble, and that's when we need comfort. That's when we need this comfort. That Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for your sins. That even today, you can believe all your sins for it. Because it says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate in the right hand side of God, who is a propitiation for our sins. And that is Jesus Christ. So, you know, if we have stumbled, if you have stumbled, I know I have stumbled, but you're like I am, so you stumble. Just remember, we have an advocate in the right hand side of God, Jesus Christ. We have a right to go to him every day. He is a propitiation for our sins. And the more we see this advocate, boy, the more stronger we will get to fight against that sin. I'm telling you. But you know, the devil tries to get people so involved in other things that we haven't got time to hear the word of God. That's the devil's fear. Get people so involved in other things. You know, a lot of times, person wonders what is in and what isn't of them. And I can remember when Walter Isaacs used to speak about that years ago. He said this question, and we all have a conscience, and we should listen to our conscience. But he said anything that comes more important than hearing the word of God, that is a sin. Anything that comes more important than Jesus Christ. I even said snowmobiling is a thing to keep you away from service. Now, if it gets so precious, you haven't got time to go and serve because we have snowmobiling time. Or any other kind of a party. Snowmobiling. Otherwise, it's nothing. We have a snowmobile. But that it can keep you away from services, then it's sin, you know, if it gets more important. Or anything. But even if it so sometimes happens that something has gotten important, well, maybe your conscience is condemning you. Just remember that there's an applicator in the right hand side of that, Jesus Christ. I don't know if anybody can be, a lot can be, say that, well, I would always keep my service is so important that nothing else has gotten more important. But I think sometimes we have that problem too. Isn't that right? I don't think any of us can say that we're so free of that. I think we're in the gift. You know, and another thing, the devil is always trying to give some kind of excuse. We can't go to service. Now we got something else. So whatever way a person has been, you know, it's good to have the word of God, you know, to comfort us. That we have an advocate. That we have a right to believe our things from you. Today is the day of salvation. Isn't that wonderful that today we can believe that? Even if we sinned yesterday. Even if we sinned earlier this morning. I don't know if we can say that we have lived even perfect this morning.